All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 30, we the people versus God. Sort of sounds like a case that's been brought before the Supreme Court, doesn't it? Well, there's a good reason for that. We're going to talk about that as we get reading through this chapter. But first, I want to bring up this thought. You know, imagine if we conservatives fought and put as much energy into defending God's law as we do the Constitution. Imagine where we'd be today. I'll tell you this, we'd be winning America instead of losing her. Because the only answer to America's problems, it's not going back to the Constitution or constitutional principles. Because that's never going to happen. The Constitution, that covenant, is really, in effect, null and void because it's been violated. You know, when people break covenants in weddings or in marriages and so forth, when one commits adultery upon another spouse, that covenant's null and void. Well, the Constitution's not followed today by anybody, both Republicans and Democrats. And so that's not the winning argument anymore. Besides that, well, let me just first say this. And don't take this as an anti-American statement. For I am very much for America. I love this country. I love the opportunity it's given us to be able to practice Christianity the way we see fit. At least for now, anyways. But let me say this. You know, all of my life, and I'm sure all of your life, as far as your converted life as a Christian, you've heard that the Constitution was framed according to the Word of God. Or that it was divinely inspired. And some even go as far as saying that it's Scripture. The same thing as the Word of God. But you know what? Well, first, I'm going to say this too. I even taught some of these things in the past. And you've probably even heard me say positive things about the Constitution and how great it is and how godly it was. In the beginning chapters or prior studies in this book of Deuteronomy over the last year. But you know what? A lot of that was wishful thinking. A lot of that was wishful thinking because when you really take a close look and compare the text of the Constitution versus the Bible, the Constitution is not framed according to the Word of God. For in many points, it actually violates or stands in opposition to God's law. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the reasons, or I'll just share with you on how I came to some of these conclusions. This wasn't something that I just bought into or wanted to deny the Constitution or wanted to be anti-American or something like that. No, that's not the case at all. But over this last year, while teaching this book of Deuteronomy and making an intense study of the law, I started to realize there were some things that, there were some red flags about the Constitution. Number one was the First Amendment. That amendment that actually gives license to and even encourages false religion to spread throughout America. That, I mean, when you look at that, I mean, how, that doesn't take a lot of research or common sense. God's very much against that. That's a violation of the First Commandment. To promote or to give aid and comfort to those who reject God, to those who willfully want to violate this commandment given by Almighty God in the Bible, the First Commandment. That should tell us something right there. And as I've said before, is the First Amendment to the Constitution actually contradicts the entire Constitution itself. For the Constitution's supposed to bring unity among the people. Well, Anybody with any bit of common sense knows that, and it's happening today, when you promote diversity, multiculturalism, and polytheism in a nation, it divides it. One person, one sect worships this God, another sect worships that God, and they're never going to come together in a body politic and agree on things. It's called balkanization. Division. Not one nation united under God, as some of our forefathers tried to get back to, because those words weren't even initially there in the Pledge of Allegiance. That's ridiculous. So that's, you know, that right there shows us that instead of the document, the Constitution, being written by very wise and intelligent men, it was rather written by those who started to become influenced by humanism, by the doctrines of men, by vain philosophies. Again, bear with me as we go through the rest of this book of Deuteronomy. And there's a book titled, a very good, exhaustive work, titled, I think it's The Constitution versus God's Law, or God's Law versus the Constitution, by Pastor Ted Weiland. And we'll try to post a link to it on this video. I think I said we would do it to the last one, and we hadn't done it. I'll try to remember to do that to this one. But the evidence that the author presents is overwhelming as far as showing that the United States Constitution does not align with God's word in many respects. And in some respects actually stands in opposition to it. Some major respects. One of the biggest parts, I'll just kind of give you a brief summary. One of the biggest parts that stands in opposition to God's word is the preamble itself, where it declares that all of our liberty and justice comes from or originates with, in big capital letters, they even put it, we the people. Well, that's what the entire Bible tries to teach us, the entire Word of God. If it makes one point, it tries to make that one point, that we the people, man, cannot secure liberty and freedom to himself. For man is imperfect. He's sinful. He's corrupt. But a people dedicated to following God's laws can remain free and blessed. It's God's promise. It's all throughout the Bible. Again, that's the main theme of the Bible. So right off the bat, we see a problem there. There's no mention of God. I'm talking about the Constitution now. Now the Declaration of Independence was a little better. But they started sliding, even within the course of whatever that was, 15, 18 years. There's no mention of God in the Constitution, besides just the date, which, how many Christians use the Lord's name in vain and don't even follow his commandments? That doesn't matter. The date says nothing. I know I've said before that it meant something, but hey, when we're learning things, we correct ourselves. Anyways, no mention of God, no mention of his laws, and no mention whatsoever of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No mention of it in the Constitution. Am I saying that America wasn't founded as a Christian nation? No, I'm not, because all the way back to the Mayflower Compact with the Pilgrims, it was founded as a Christian nation back there, but they already, after 100 years or so, they already started slipping away from God and falling into humanism, trusting in man's ability to reason, to be able to live without God's law. And look at where it's gotten us. Look at where it's gotten us. But I want you to do some homework here. Get out the text. Don't take my word for it. Get out the text of the Mayflower Compact and compare it to the United States Constitution. Totally different. The Mayflower Compact specifically lays out in the preamble that they came here for the express purpose of spreading the gospel of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what? Then they even came here and they didn't have a constitution that or a separate constitution. Sure, there were state people that got together and they organized their communities, but their main constitution, their constitution was the Word of God. If they were to have, if they were to cite which laws were enacted, they always cited the verse of which it came from. So they didn't make the law. They were only applying God's laws. Think about that. If, in fact, when you really look at it, the Constitution, our Constitution gives power to a Senate and a House of Representatives. And they're called lawmakers. Well, I got news for you. There's only one lawmaker. We're only instructed to apply that law, to have men of responsibility, men of wisdom, set up called judges, elders, to make sure that law is applied, and the priests were to teach it. That's it. Could you imagine if we lived under God's law, how small government would be? If going back to God's law isn't the best idea for a limited government, then you don't know much about the Bible. You know, we got libertarians today that want to have basically no law, but there's no way it'll ever work because it's just another form of humanism. Oh yes, all of us men can just agree to be angels. And you do what you want to do in your backyard, and I'll do what I want in my backyard. And if you want to marry guys, go ahead. But that doesn't hurt me. Yes, it does. God's word calls it wormwood, bitterness, poison that spreads and kills a society. You know, I have so many things to say on this topic, and I can't say it all at once. But I'll say this: the evidence is so overwhelming and so enlightening. After I studied, really put an intense study in on this topic of the law, and then comparing it with the Constitution, that there are some serious errors in the Constitution, and we should not be placing it upon a pedestal or placing it in front of the laws of God. That's idolatry. I mean, that's no different than worshiping a false god. Have you ever read Daniel chapter 2 where that big idol of a man was presented? And the iron and then the toes had iron mixed with clay. In other words, it's saying, hey, you can't mix the principles of God with humanism. That's what the Constitution is. Constitution is. It's a hybrid. Of people trying to work in biblical elements with man's elements. And it doesn't work. Hey, you either follow God or you don't. You can't have it both ways. Hybridization never works. It never works. It creates sterility. Well, let me move on here. What we're talking, you know, I'll just say this about the First Amendment as well. We Christians, we say the Lord's Prayer. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we ask God, we say, please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Think about that. Do we ever even think about the meaning of what we pray for when we pray it? How can we ask God to deliver us from temptation and from evil when we openly invite evil into our society via non-Christian religions under the First Amendment? That's ridiculous. God's not going to answer our prayers when we willfully work against them, when we willfully work against what we're asking for. That's ridiculous. It's like telling God, please don't let that serpent bite me, but then you go and you stick your hand out in front of him and wiggle it and say, hoo, 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 don't bite me. These things are very simple. But sometimes idolatry is hard to part with, especially when it's such a great tradition of men called the Constitution. It's not working. It's failed us because it's imperfect. Just the fact that it needs to be amended tells you that it's imperfect. God's law, God's Constitution doesn't need amending. In fact, God even warns us in His Word that anybody who dares to try to take away or add to this word shall be blotted out of the book of life. No amendments necessary. For God's law is perfect. It's full of love, full of life. I better not make this introduction go on too long because we got a whole chapter to cover. But I do want to make a couple other things, a couple other points here. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution is another violation of God's law. For we're supposed to put only godly men and women in places of authority. In political offices, it was namely men at the time. I know that may offend some, but hey, so be it. And there were exceptions to the rule when Israel fell short. Then God would call up some reinforcements there. Hey, if the men can't do it, then the women would have to fill the gap. That has nothing to do with Joel chapter 2, God's going to use both His sons and daughters in the last days to prophesy, to teach. But anyways, before I get too off topic, the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution declares that we are not supposed to have any religious test for people holding public office. In other words, we can't make it a requirement that they be Christian, that they be godly, that they be a man of principle. No, we just say, hey, anybody can lead us. That's anti-biblical. That's anti-biblical. And I already mentioned the fact that under God's law, there's no such thing as a Senate or a House of Representatives, only elders and judges, because there's no need to make law. Could you imagine if the Senate and House of Representatives just stopped making all these stupid new laws that always just bring us more into debt, more into bondage? It's because it's all this we the people, instead of obeying the laws of God or advancing the glory of His kingdom, of which our forefathers, the pilgrims, intended on doing. I can't remember, but if you compare, I did say look at the Constitution and compare it with the Mayflower Compact, because it becomes obvious that the Constitution was a radical departure from the course that the pilgrims had laid out for us. A radical departure. Let me just answer a couple objections real quick. It's from some of the statements I'm making concerning the First Amendment and so forth. Does that mean I want to take away someone's free will? Because I know it's a question and a concern many people have, but Pastor Ben, if we make this only a Christian nation and we outlaw paganism and heathenism and Mohammedanism, Islam, and Judaism and so forth, is that does that take away, that takes away people's free will, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. You know, under God's law, God's law still does not force someone to love God in their own heart. People still have the free will to despise God, to hate God, but you know what they can't do? They can't voice it out in public. Just as you can't steal from your neighbor. You can't rape your neighbor. You can't murder your neighbor. It's the same thing. They can believe whatever they want in their own mind, but they can't go out and preach it to cause harm to the society, because that's what it does. It, like God says, it's wormwood, it's bitterness, it's poison. False religion. So God's law does have a zero tolerance policy towards polytheism, multiculturalism, diversity. But people still have free will. They can violate God's law and even get punished. That's just like if somebody wants to murder, hey, they have the free will to do that. But they're going to suffer the consequences. And ultimately, when you get to the very end, there's free will. It's just that those who freely choose Satan, they don't get to live anymore. They can't enter into the gates of heaven, so to speak. New Jerusalem on earth. So anyways, that argument, I can point out many other reasons why that doesn't apply. People still have free will, so don't worry about that. And then, Pastor Ben, but isn't the end supposed to happen anyways? Why call people to get back to God's law? Why call America to enact legislation or amend the Constitution to align more with God's word? Why do that? Because the end's going to happen anyways. Do you know what we're supposed to be doing in the end times? Have you read Revelation chapter 12? Where it says that there's a remnant left during the tribulation, even during the tribulation times, that keep the commandments of God. They keep his law. They teach it. They preach it. They expound it. They fight for it. They defend it. And they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're never supposed to stop teaching or trying to get our people to repent and get back to God's word. That's our duty. We're not supposed to passively wait for the end times to come or for the end to come for Jesus to do everything for us. No, you're his servant. You're going to help establish that kingdom. It's written in many places, Matthew 24 even, where Christ said, hey, I want you to be in the field working, spreading the gospel of the kingdom, not just individual salvation and things like that, but everything that has to do with the kingdom, his constitution, the principles, laws, statutes, judgments. And then you go to, we'll move on from that. Well, no, I'll mention this. You go to Daniel chapter, I think it's 2 again as well. The same chapter where that idol of man was mentioned. Humanism being what everybody loves to worship. We the people. In that same chapter, God said that he was going to, in the days of the tribulation, in the days when the false kingdoms arise, the new world order, God says during that time, not after, during that time, he's going to set up a kingdom established upon his laws, his statutes, his judgments, or at least the people that hold on to that. And he's going to take that kingdom, that remnant, and it says a stone, and he's going to throw it right at that idol of man, that humanism, that we the people. And it's going to smash and break in pieces. And that kingdom shall stand forever and ever and ever. Just like the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then you get to the end of it. And it shall stand forever and ever. Anyways, so that's what we're supposed to be doing in the end days. We don't passively wait. We actively work. Just as Christ has commanded us in many places, in many places. Pastor Ben, are you saying that we should set up a religious theocracy? You know, first of all governments are theocracies. Whether it's a Hindu theocracy, a Muslim theocracy, a Jewish theocracy, or you name it, theocracy. I almost said theosophy. I might have said theosophy, but theocracy. They're all theocracies because why? When you look at laws, the fact is that all laws are religious in nature. That's an inescapable law or rule. It is because all laws protect, are designed to protect, the morals of that nation's God. That God could be Yahweh, our God. It could be Muhammad, which is a false god. Hinduism or Buddhism, their laws, all false gods. Or it could be the God of we the people. Yes, we the people can be God. It all starts back in the Garden of Eden. When Satan tempted Eve, he taught them the principles of humanism. He tried to divert them away from the laws of God. He said, you shall be as God yourself. Who are you? Why would you live by God's law? Why don't you do your own will? Why don't you do the will of we the people? You know, God's law is, if you're a Christian, it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be wanting to set up a government that puts the will of the people in mind. You should have a government that wants to serve the will of Almighty God. Because through it and by it is the only way to liberty and freedom, as we're going to talk about here as we get going. And I know this introduction's getting long, but it's necessary. But so anyways, you're going to choose a theocracy no matter what. The point is, do we want to be ruled by men or do we want to be ruled by God? That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. So we're not promoting a government to be run by a bunch of religious hypocrites or to be run by the Pope or something like that. No, for God's law forbids tyranny in all respects. Just wipe that out of your mind. Theocracy does not mean evil if it's theocracy, if it means the rule of God's law. That's good. That's the best government you can have. It's not dangerous. It's not scary. It's peace. It's love. It's liberty. It's happiness. It's freedom. That's the way the kingdom's going to be in the eternity. Are you going to tell God when you get to heaven that even though he has his, you know, his servants still running the operation? Are you going to say, I don't want to follow your law because it's so mean? You can say that, but you're not going to be there long. Now, am I a Pharisee for promoting God's law instead of the United States Constitution? Well, That's sort of an unlearned statement to make if that's what you're going to accuse me of. Because the Pharisees, their error was, as Christ pointed out, that they made the word of God void, the law of God void by their traditions. They didn't apply God's law correctly. They twisted it. So, in a sense, when you look at it, those who push the Constitution over and above the Word of God, they are the Pharisees. Because they're making God's Word void by their traditions, the traditions of men. Promoting an imperfect document over the Constitution of Almighty God. Pull away from idols, my friends. So many scriptures in the book of Jeremiah, I don't know if it's Jeremiah 16. Cursed be he that puts his trust and faith in man. Trust in God. Which is supposed to be the motto of our nation, but our nation has become a hybrid. We've compromised. We've compromised. Here's another question that people might have. But Pastor Ben, it's not our job to set up a physical kingdom here on earth. As Christians, we're supposed to spread the message of a spiritual kingdom. Not one based on laws and things like that, just based off of believing. Believing what? If you believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then you want to follow His commandments and do His will. You can't just say you believe in him and don't believe anything he teaches or don't take it serious enough to actually put the commandments into practice in your personal life, your community, your state, and your national government. That's hypocrisy. Dualism. The fact is, if you look it up, just do a little word search and you'll find, I can't remember the scripture, but God's law is spiritual. A nation that follows God's laws on this earth is a spiritual kingdom. All right. There's so many things. Before you jump to conclusions and have these objections, hey, there's all the answers of your objections to why we shouldn't follow God's law are in the Bible itself. And I could list off. I could counter every single argument against God's law. Why? Because I'm so intelligent? No. Because I know how to study the Bible. I put my trust in God, not men. And the other fact is that another fact that proves that nations as well as individuals should put God's law into practice is the fact that in the book of Revelation, as well as throughout the entire Bible, God judges individuals as well as entire nations based on whether or not they're following his law. That means his law should be in effect nationally, not just individually, not just personal salvation. We're not here just for our own selves or to ignore the fact that God put us on this earth to be a light upon a hill and so forth. That's sort of silly. All these arguments of why we should not follow God's law or put it into practice as a nation, they don't hold up when you really focus in on God's word. They might seem to hold up if you reason things out and use men's reasonings and you convince yourself or make it go through the process of justification. Let's just go to God's word. Let's go to God's word and let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. Help us to always put you first, Lord, in all aspects of our life. And help us shun the traditions of men that make void your word. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 30, chapter 1. And if this gets a little long, hey, we'll break it up into two parts. I'm probably just going to record the thing all the way through, but if it's too long for you, I'll break it into two parts, and we'll go part 1 and part 2. But anyways, here we go. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, and it reads, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Now check that out. What is he talking about? God's saying, hey, when you see the blessings and the curse, when you're living in them, guess what? We're living during the cursed period of American history right now. The stranger has gotten up above us. You have President Obama as a stranger, anti-Christian, non-Israelite. Eric Holder, the head of the Justice Department, supposed to be upholding the law. And yet he's one of the biggest violators of the law. It's despicable. You want that? Because the Constitution, in some respects, has made that available. You want that over God's law? Silly. "Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." In other words, when God says, when you're driven out, when your government falls apart and it's given over to the stranger, I want you to call this to mind of why it happened. Verse 2, "And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice," his law, "according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul." God didn't say call back to the Constitution. We've got to get back to the Constitution. Let's save America. Constitutional principles, limited government. No. It's time to turn to Almighty God, my friends. The Constitution's long and gone. It's hanging on by a thread and it's going to be diminished, because it does not have the power to secure liberties and freedom of which the bold statement in the beginning claims that it does. It doesn't have that power. Man does not have power to grant liberty and freedom or to secure those things. Those are blessings from Almighty God when we follow his way, his will. Repent from your idolatry and start supporting the laws of God rather than the laws of men or the traditions of men. I know that sounds strong, but hey, I've had to do it myself. For I've been a strong supporter of the Constitution all my life in ignorance of the fact that it leaves God out. Does that mean our people have left God out? No, the only reason we've survived is not the Constitution that saved us. It's the fact that the people were putting their trust in God. Even when the founding document of this body politic was faulty. Think about that. House of Representatives and the Senate don't even exist under God's law. Yet we say this is framed according to God's law. No, it's not. There may have been founders, some of the founders there that thought it was. But they were being duped by man's reason. Because, you know, after all, we just had the age of reason. You know, man can be his own God. We're so intelligent. Now shall we, okay, not just, no, it doesn't just say, just believe and be saved. It doesn't say that. It says, turn to God, repent, that's what that means, and obey his voice, obey his commandments.
But Pastor Ben, all the only two commandments we have is to love God and love your neighbor, and that's all we're going to follow.
Do you know how to read? I'm sorry if this sounds a little blunt, but do you know how to read? For those two commandments that Christ gave, he called them the great commandments. Just by looking at the word great, you realize that they're over and above the other commandments. In fact, he was just giving you a structure of the law. All minor laws are all laws that aren't considered the great commandments. All their commandments fall under those two categories. Those great commandments don't replace all of God's law. Come on, man, that's stupid. And I don't want to hear that anymore. I hear that from ignorant Christians who've never studied their Bible or at least study with understanding, and they repeat the same stupid statements over and over again. Because Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 that he did not come to change one jot or tittle of law, but he came to fulfill certain requirements of it, i.e. the blood sacrifices and many of the rituals. And he replaced them with Holy Communion and baptism. Just love everybody. You don't even know how to love your neighbor if you don't know God's law. Do you think you're so perfect that you automatically know how without God's instructions? Get off your high horse, Christian. Who do you think you are? That you're so holy now and all you got to do is love, love, love. That's baloney. You're going to love the Antichrist if that's your only two commandments without any basis to them. So with all of your heart and all of your soul, it does not say get back to the traditions of men or pray for the Constitution of the United States to save us. Again, I've served this nation in combat as a gunner on a gun truck. I took a vow to uphold the Constitution, and I did. I fulfilled it, and I'm done. And anybody who's in the Army now, I'm not saying that, it's a sin to take that oath. But it does make me very uncomfortable now. I think at least if you get in there and serve, we should do whatever we can to. We don't have to destroy the Constitution. We can just keep amending it until it conforms with the Word of God. That's what we ought to do. Because we don't want anarchy or anything like that. Just amend it. Amend the whole preamble. To instead put we the people, instead of putting all the power in we the people and claiming that it originates with us, say we've gathered together to give glory to Almighty God, to follow his laws in order to secure liberty and happiness for the people. Something of that nature. To advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could make an amendment that says that without throwing away the Constitution. We could make the Constitution conform. We could just make all the parts of it that are against God null and void. It's legal. It's legal. It's patriotic. Verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. He'll turn away our oppression that we're getting into today and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. But we still live in America. Have you gone to some of our cities? Praise God, I live away from the cities now, but many of you who live in the cities, it doesn't feel like America. When you got people walking around speaking all different kinds of languages, worshiping all different kinds of gods, that's not my America. That's not the America our founders founded. Speaking of the pilgrims and those thereafter, so God says, hey, if you turn back to me, I'll have compassion upon you. But if you insist that the thing that man can grant you freedom, or that an imperfect document written by men can secure these so-called rights for you, you're sorely mistaken. God's teaching us a lesson, my friends. The Constitution's only over 200 years old and it's failing us. It's not perfect. It's not inspired by God. It's not, it may be allowed by God for his purposes and plans, but that doesn't mean that we violate God's law because we speculate certain things are his will. We don't know exactly what his will is in all things, but we know what his will is for us to keep fighting for the truth, to keep standing up for his commandments, to turn back to him. That's what we're supposed to do. In fact, to this year, as of this year, might have even been last year, out of all the babies born in the United States, Israelites, true Israelites, I'm talking about the Caucasians. You can call them white Caucasian Christians if you want. They are descendants of those tribes who migrated. I'm not even going to go into the whole thing. If you don't understand that we're lost Israel, check out our website. We've got a lot of books about that, a lot of documentation. But Israelite babies are now a minority in America today. They're no longer the majority. Everyone born today, my children, your children, they're born as a minority right now. It's only going to get worse. We're being scattered among the nations, among the heathen. But the God says, hey, he's going to gather us. He's going to fetch us. In verse 4, if any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. He'll save us. He'll restore us. Just as a shepherd does his sheep, we just have to listen to him. And the Lord will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. We'll go back. We'll repossess America if we did this. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. We'll even be more blessed than our forefathers were, God says. Look at the kind of father we have. It's completely amazing, his love and his care. But we're too stubborn. We want to do our will. We want to do we the people's will instead of God's will. We worship man. We trust in man more than God because we say, well, God's law seems a little severe at some points. Don't want to follow that, so I'll follow men. What happens? We end up losing everything. Our freedom, our happiness, our dignity, our honor, our children. Because we think God's too rough, a little too stern. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. He's going to cut off all that stuff, of all the bad skin on your heart. He's going to remove it, make it soft, make it tender, make it true. And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. The first commandment that thou mayest live. What is the key there? That's how we get liberty and freedom. Not by libertarianism. Not by voting in Ron Paul, whose only solution is to go back to the Constitution. That's a document drafted by men. Hey, that's a good attempt. He He was probably better than all the other candidates that we've had. But it still doesn't make him the solution. Many people put their faith in Ron Paul. Ron Paul's going to save us. Get back to the Constitution. Yay, yay, rah, rah. Liberty, freedom. It can only happen by doing this, my friend. It can only happen by doing this. To love, if we turn back to God and we love him with all of our heart and all thy soul, then we may as live. We may have liberty, freedom, prosperity, happiness. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee and which persecute thee. In other words, he'll take all the curses that we're receiving and turn them around on the enemy. Wouldn't you enjoy that? Maybe that sounds like a mean statement for somebody, but wouldn't you enjoy seeing Eric Holder and Obama receive some of the curses that they're putting upon us? Well, I don't know if I'd say if that's the correct statement to say, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Wouldn't you rather have it that way? Wouldn't you rather have the enemies of God receiving the curses rather than we Christians? Embarrassing. We Christians have become an embarrassment. We worship doctrines of men rather than the Word of God in both our government, our national government, our churches. People that, you know, people, oh, we got the Pope is God's representative on earth. No, he's not. The Word of God is God's representative. Jesus Christ, who lives with us in spirit and in truth. That same spirit that came on Pentecost Day. So verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Again, I'm going to stress this over and over again. Not the commandments of men. Not the laws made by Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives. We don't need them. They can't make laws. Any law they make that contradicts God's word is lawless. It's a transgression. It's a perversion of God's law. Such as Obamacare and any other socialistic, heathenistic program. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Just as he rejoiced over our forefathers. I'm speaking of those pilgrims that came here. Came here with the laws of God in hand and the Constitution as their Bible and the Bible as their Constitution. We're not necessarily talking about the forefathers that got together and placed we the people up as God. Does that mean they're all bad? No, there are some good ones trying to do some good things. And there were some like Patrick Henry. That great patriot that said he smelt a rat at that constitutional convention. I don't know why he said that exactly. I haven't researched it enough, but my opinion now is probably because he knew they were placing man up as God rather than God as God, rather than Yahweh, the living God as God, as our lawmaker, but place men as lawmakers? All man can do is apply God's judgments. His statutes, his laws. In other words, to prefer the Constitution over God's law is to reject God himself. I don't want to live by God's law. It's scary. Theocracy? No, I want a democracy. I want the people to rule over me. The majority, I want this heathen majority to rule over me. I don't want God to rule over me. That's so scary. But the mob of people who, as we can see, wanted to put in prison, probably would like to see him put to death, the man Zimmerman, for trying to defend his community. May even add, the guy even voted for Obama. But he's having second thoughts now. Maybe his eyes will be open. It's probably somewhat of a curse that he was even put through all that and still will suffer it because he did vote for that. He voted for that. He voted for what he's getting. Speaking of Zimmerman. Yeah. He wouldn't be persecuted today. There wouldn't be this big up in arms. He'd be able to live a normal life if he just defended himself under a different administration. But he asked. He voted for that. That's what he chose. What about the rest of you who chose? What are you going to get? And what have you done to the rest of us? So God's going to, he'll bless us. This is we'd have prosperity. And he'd even rejoice over us. So, you know, what an awesome father. We just turn from the traditions of men. Again, whether it's governmental traditions, you know, you look and you see, hey, I didn't want to admit this to myself a long time ago, but you see a lot of Roman type stuff worked into our government. That's not what we want. We don't want traditions of men. We don't need on our Supreme Court building. Sure, there's Moses up there. But then there's all these other lawgivers up there. We don't need what? So God's law is just another lawgiver among the lawgivers? That's blasphemy. That's idolatry. Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, not halfway, not hybridization, not a hybrid version of Christianity, but pure Christianity. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Hey, this isn't difficult to understand. This isn't secret. It is not in heaven. Verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? In other words, well, the answer is right here, verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. I've given it to you through Moses. He codified the law. They didn't have to go search for it. It's right there. Huh? Christians, most of you have a Bible. It's right here. All the answers. Why do we always want to choose another form of God? Stop it. Wake up. It's right here. It's not difficult. We don't have to go to some philosopher or pretend that there's some really wise group of men that really form this perfect structure with the balances of power and it just works as a machine or a mechanism that saves us. It hasn't done that. It's temporarily been a Band-Aid, but it hasn't worked. It's failed. It's been violated. That covenant is really no longer in effect. You Republicans out there, hey, the Democrats already committed adultery with you. They cheated on you. They broke the covenant. So let's just go back and let's redo it the right way. Get back to God's word. Place him up as the originator of blessings of liberty and security. Well, go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, and the new covenant let's just turn there real quick. Hebrews 8, because some say, well, Ben, under the new covenant, we just don't follow those old laws anymore. It's just not necessary for us because we're super spiritual and holy, can't you see? I just sit around and wait for Jesus to return. I love him. He's in my heart. If his law is not in your heart, he's not in your heart. Because he's the word of God. He is the law of God. He is the will of God. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, talking about the first covenant, but not the law, the blood rituals and sacrifices, that part of the law. He saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. I divorced them. Hey, there is a way out of a covenant. One party violates it, then it's no longer in effect. And that's what happened under the first covenant. So Christ came back to reaffirm that covenant, to put Israel and Judah, the Christian nations, I should say, back into that covenant with a better way of forgiveness. That is, no more rituals, no more blood sacrifices, but through Christ. But the law is still very much in effect, as we'll see in verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws, check that out, my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. Have you taken the time to allow God to write his laws into your mind? Well, the only way that can happen is if you study them. Because I got news for you. This verse doesn't mean that God just miraculously zaps them into your mind. You have to do your part by studying and absorbing and so forth. But that's the new covenant. The new covenant didn't do away with God's law. It strengthened it. Not a pharisaical application of it, but the true and righteous application from God himself. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Okay? Again, where do we find liberty and happiness and freedom? By listening to God's law. Anything other than God's law, humanism, what does it lead to? When we worship we the people, by placing we the people up as our national God, as the originator of our laws and our liberty and freedom, then we end up with death and evil, death and calamity. In verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it, not on an individual basis only, but nationally. Again, stop believing that Christianity is only a personal religion. For again, all you have to do is read Revelation. It's national as well. Because nations as well as individuals, or I should say, yeah, nations as well as individuals will be judged according to it. Therefore, we are all under it, whether we want to be or not. I should say, whether you want to be or not. Because every Christian should want to be. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be driven away and worship other gods and serve them, again, people think it's all, this is only talking about a statue or something like that. No. All false gods lead to the worship of man. That's what it does. Whether it's a superhuman, like a fallen angel, or Satan himself, or just plain mankind in general, or yourself. Or we the people. We the people. Versus God. I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to possess it. That, my friend, is how I can be so sure that the Constitution is not what we should be calling for right now. It's not what we should be calling for, and that's not an un-American statement, because if you really care about your country, you want to save it. And when you know that something else is not going to save it, a document written and created by men that in many points and respects contradicts God's word, then you have to expose that, because it's become an idol. Every single day I listen, you know, I listen to conservative talk radio a lot, TV, whatever. Always hearing that, instead of hearing God's word must be what we go back to. It's the Constitution, the Constitution. In other words, we got to go back to the will of the people, the will of the people. Well, what is the will of the people today? It's big government. It's anti-Christianism. And God says, I denounce unto you this day, if that's what you're going to put your trust in, you will perish. And we're perishing. Verse 19, I call, now this is a legal statement, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, this is legally binding. That I have set before you life and death, liberty or oppression, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Not just, I believe and I'm saved, and that's all I got to do. Personal salvation, yeah, that's good. But now you got to get to work, my friend. You got to get to work at advancing the principles of his kingdom. That thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And that promise was even given all the way in Revelation 12 to this great land, America. The land that God promised to us. And he's taken it away from us. Because again, we've allowed we the people to become God instead of God. Well, today I made the case for God versus we the people. How about you? What are you going to choose? Get those traditions of men out of your head. Get away from that wishful thinking that the Constitution was divinely inspired. God doesn't divinely inspire something that contradicts his word. Will he allow things to happen for his plan? Yes, he will. But we're not supposed to support that is against God and justify it, especially when it's failing. Come on. All right. Next chapter. Chapter 31 is a very important chapter because it tells us, or it foretold of, that great date that everybody remembers that really put us on the downward spiral, faster than we were even going. And that was September 11th, 2001. Until then, do what Christ said when tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Not the traditions of men, but the word of God. So see that you consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to help support Christian Overcomers, you can do so by becoming a member for a $15 a month tithe, donation, or offering, simply by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. All memberships include unlimited access to all current and archived audio podcasts that can be saved and downloaded for listening at your convenience. God bless you, and thank you for your support.